Hey guys, and welcome back to our podcast. I'm Logan, and this is my mom,
Patsy,
and this is Chills, a true crime podcast. So as I mentioned previously in our last episode, I'm just going to jump right into the case, and then we're going to save all of our chit-chat for the end of our episode. So this is going to be the murder of Regan Toakes. Really, really freaking angry. I remember hearing this case on, I can't remember what I heard it on. It was on some kind of episode on like Investigation Discovery or something. And I actually like watched it on YouTube. Actually, it may have been on Dateline. Regardless, it was on something. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing about it, and it literally like made me physically sick to my stomach. Ugh, it's just a terrible freaking case. So let's get into it. So Regan Toakes was born on March 13th, 1995. She was very smart and active in her church. She played varsity lacrosse and tennis, and she actually graduated from high school with a 4.5 GPA.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So very, very smart. She was in college at Ohio State University, and she was a psychology major. Her parents and younger sister actually moved to Florida whenever she started college, so they'd all previously lived in Ohio, and then she started college, and they actually ended up moving to Florida. So she was in the state of Ohio by herself.
Mm.
But she had her entire future planned out. She knew that she wanted to go to Ohio State University, and she was going to graduate in May of 2017, and then she was going to work at the Cleveland Clinic that was in Ohio. Then she was going to attend graduate school and then open her own psychology practice. The complete opposite of what I am, because I don't have anything planned out. I'm awful. But
some people just have it together. Some people it takes a little longer. It's okay.
I'm not one of those people. So on February 8th, 2017, it started out like any normal day, but it wouldn't end that way. So Regan actually worked at a bar/restaurant called Bodega. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. I think so, but hopefully. And it was actually located in Columbus, Ohio. So at 9:45 p.m., she got off work and started walking to her car. After a couple hours of not hearing from Regan, her parents got a little worried. So since they lived in two completely different states, they always made sure to, like, keep in contact, like, very frequently through, like, texts and phone calls and stuff. And so it was very unlike her to not, you know, immediately text or call her parents. But her parents shook off the worry. They were like, okay, she's probably tired, probably had a long day, you
know. As we all have, yeah. You know, you think the worst and you're like, ah, I'm overreacting.
Exactly, because, I mean, she was in school full time, mm-hmm. She was working, mm-hmm. Like, she probably had a long freaking day. They probably thought that she was just tired or studying or something, and that she would get a hold of them the next day. So the next morning, her roommates realized that she never came home. And so that's when everyone, like, really started to worry. But then it became, like, a huge panic whenever they realized that she hadn't showed up for any of her classes. Because, you know, she had a plan. Like, she was about to graduate. She knew what she wanted out of life. And
somebody with a 4.5 average is not going to not show up for class.
Exactly. She didn't skip class. She wouldn't skip class. And so everyone was in a full-out panic whenever they found out this information. They were like, what the heck happened? And I can only imagine, like, how helpless her parents felt living in a completely different state.
Yeah, because even if you took off and left right then, it'd take you a day to get there, you know?
I mean, even flying. Yeah. Like, you gotta arrive like two. I mean, I don't know. I feel like some people say it's a myth, but you have to arrive like 2 hours before your flight.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, regardless, it's gonna take them a little while to get there. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure that they were completely helpless, like, felt so helpless and were so, like, worried. And I mean, I'm sure it was just a terrible, terrible feeling. So a missing persons report was actually filed. And I did read, I couldn't confirm this, but I read on a couple different sites where her place of work, so Bodega, hopefully I'm saying that correctly, Bodega was actually the one who filed the missing persons report.
Wow.
Yeah, so I thought that was like,
I didn't know they could do that.
I didn't know either, but I mean, I don't know. But anyway, I couldn't confirm it, but I did read a couple of sites where it said that. I mean, obviously it wasn't like, you know. So the police jumped on this case. I will give them that. Like, this was like bam, bam, bam. They jumped on it and everything happened really, really quickly. So they decided like the best action was to retrace her steps. So they started at her place of work. They talked with all of her coworkers and they confirmed that she did in fact leave at 9:45. They looked at the security cameras and unfortunately, you can see her walking, but her car was out of frame. So you don't actually see her getting into her car. You see her walking to get into her car, but you don't actually see her get in her car, or you don't even actually see her car. So that really couldn't help them. I mean, they saw that she did, in fact, leave the restaurant. But after that. Yeah, they couldn't see if she actually got into her car safely. So I can only imagine, again, the frustration that...
Because you're so close.
Yeah. You're literally so close and yet not close enough. Because literally, if it just would have been turned just a little tiny bit, they would have been able to see exactly what happened. Or she would have
just parked one parking spot over.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't think about these things.
Exactly. So, it wasn't long after they were looking at the security footage and they, you know, realized that they couldn't see her, that two people walking through a park actually found a naked body. It was in... I'm definitely going to butcher this name. Societo Grove Metro Park. And it was in Grove City, Ohio. So the police quickly identified that the body was Reagan. There were no clues found on her body or in the park to show like what would what had happened. Again, she was naked, so she didn't have any clothes. And so, you know, there obviously wasn't anything on her clothes because they weren't there.
Right.
So the police focused on finding her car because her car wasn't at the park. And they're like, where could it have went? Someone obviously dropped her off, took her car because her car's not here. So they eventually find it in Southeast Columbus. So Reagan's purse and cell phone were not in the car, but they did find cigarette butts in the car. And then they also found a can of gasoline. So they quickly confirmed that Reagan did not smoke, and so they're like, all right, we're going to test these cigarette butts. Yeah, that
seems like it'd be a big clue.
Right, yeah. So the DNA comes back for a match to Brian Goolsbee. So this guy is the biggest shit stain in the history of the world. I'm going to go ahead and put that out there right now. Spoiler alert, he sucks. So he had just been released from prison about 2 months before Reagan's murder for a robbery and attempted rape. He was sentenced to 6 years and he had just been released 2 months before. I'll say it again. Just released 2 months before. So, and I'm going to give you like a little tiny bit of what his 6 year sentence was for. The story's fucked up. So he kidnapped an 8 month pregnant woman and her child, raped the woman,
oh my god,
and robbed her while her child was in the car.
Mm.
The victim refused to testify, fearing for her child and her safety. So Goolsbee pleaded down to robbery. Oh my lord. The victim refused to testify, fearing for her and her child's life. So Goolsbee pleaded down to robbery and attempted rape.
Wow. Which is nothing. Smack on the hand.
Yeah, nothing. He got 6 years for literally brutally raping someone while her child was there. Like, I can't even. So while in prison, Goolsbee committed 52 infractions, including possessing contraband, refusing to obey orders, stealing, fighting, and creating disturbances. Please tell me how this guy got out on time.
I know. I thought whenever you did something wrong that it put more time on your sentence, but evidently not.
I can promise you, you're going to be real pissed off with this case. So just getting started. I don't understand. I truly do not understand how somebody could fuck up 52 times and yet, oh yeah. You know what?
I've heard of people getting off for good behavior, but you know, it's like.
Yeah. I don't understand how he was released on time. I don't get it. I really don't. So once he was released, he did have to register as a sex offender, and he was given a GPS tracking device and placed at a temporary housing center. So, Goolsbee's GPS bracelet placed him in the exact location that Reagan's body was found.
Wow.
And at the restaurant at the exact time that she left work.
Hmm.
Yeah, you heard that correctly. So a rape kit was performed on Reagan's body, and it was a match for Brian Goolsbee. Like, what happened that night? You know, he has a GPS monitor on him. Like, what happened? So Goolsbee just so happened to be walking by whenever he saw Reagan walking to her car. It was literally just an opportunity of chance.
So once again,
yeah,
5 minutes earlier, 5 minutes later.
Literally just the
wrong place at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. These keep happening. Wow.
And I feel like that's kind of like the worst kind of crimes, mm-hmm. too, because you're like, well, what if she would have just stopped to talk to a coworker for a mm-hmm. second?
Yeah.
Or what if she would have went to the bathroom? She would not have been in that location. She wouldn't have been, that moment where they crossed paths would not have been there. Like, it's just crazy. So they ran into each other. He forced her in her car and then abducted her. He said in his interrogation that he told her all he wanted was money and that everything would be all right. So he forced her to drive him to 2 ATMs to withdraw money, but the transactions were declined. They stopped at the first ATM, which was a Chase Bank, at 10:02, and he tried to withdraw $500. So the second ATM they stopped at, it was in Huntington, and it was at 10:14. So then at 10:18, Toks and Goolsbee stopped in an alley and stayed there for 12 minutes. This is where they believe she was raped, just because they were in this alley for 12 minutes, and they think that that's where the rape occurred. So after the rape, he made her drive back to the first ATM and forced her to withdraw $60. And then he made her drive her to the Metro Park. And there, he made her take off all of her clothes and her shoes. And then he marched Reagan into a field and shot her twice in the head.
Wow.
He shot her once in the back and then once through the left side of the face.
How'd he get a gun?
I don't know. He just had one. I don't know. I never really
because found. He's not supposed to have a gun.
That's true. I didn't think about that. You're right. I don't know where he had. I don't know how he got a gun, but I did not find any information on that. But he shot her at close range, killing her in execution style.
Mm.
Which I feel like, oh, that's terrifying because you see it come, like you know it's coming. Yeah. You're like, okay, this is it. And like those seconds right before, I'm sure it was absolutely terrifying. So after murdering Reagan, he took her silver Acura to his girlfriend's home. They drove to McDonald's together at 1:45, and he gave her Reagan's black Kate Spade purse and white wallet as a gift.
Oh my god!
So he just got done murdering and raping this woman and gave her stuff to his girlfriend as a gift.
What a sicko.
And then he later unsuccessfully tried to set her car on fire to destroy evidence, which was why there was a can of gasoline in the car. So I do also want to mention, too, he actually, like, initially denied having any kind of sexual contact with her and for also having a gun. So detectives were like, we're going to devise, like, this new strategy, and they suggested to Goolsbee that, you know, maybe he had an accomplice. You know, maybe he didn't do it alone. Maybe he wasn't the sole suspect. And so then, you know, Goolsbee just, like, went along with it. He's like, yep, you know what? I did have an accomplice.
Yeah.
He's like, there was a man named TJ who demanded money from me. And you know what? I was like, all right, fine. He told me that he was going to harm my children if I didn't give him money. Then TJ forced him to rape Reagan at gunpoint. So, wasn't Goolsbee. He didn't want to do it. No, not at all. It was this TJ guy. So, he says, I wanted to just run and call the cops. For real. I could have, but at the same time, I didn't want to put my babies in jeopardy. That's a direct quote from him. So, at the park, he says that TJ forced Toks to undress and shot her in the head. Though, detectives knew Goolsbee was lying. You know, they pretended to believe him. They listened to his fucking stupid ass story. And they just continued to listen to him because eventually this just led them to more evidence against mm-hmm. Colby. And they got more information about him. Like, they knew the timeline because he was just a fucking idiot and dumb as shit. And it always pisses me off whenever these people, like, they know that they're caught, but yet they're still like, you know I what? Know.
And I mean, yeah. There would be gun residue on his hands and everything.
His DNA so, was found exactly. on her. So, like,
I don't know why he would even try to push that off right? on someone else. I guess like, just
initially, ignorance. He's like, oh, no, I didn't rape her. And then, oh, yeah, no, I did rape her, but I was forced to at gunpoint. Okay. Okay. So, obviously, none of that was true. He did it completely by himself. And the trial took place in March 2018, which was 13 months after the murder. He was convicted of all counts on March 13th, 2018, which actually would have been Reagan's 23rd birthday.
Wow.
Which is kind of crazy. So after being sentenced to life in prison, he pled to 6 robberies that occurred before Toke's murder. Yep, you heard that correctly. He committed 6 robberies before her murder.
Since he got out of jail?
Yes, in oh that 2 months. So.
And did they not catch him on camera or anything?
So these were crimes he committed, again, while having a fucking monitor on his ankle. So he continuously violated conditions several times and committed 6 robberies without being sent to jail or prison. So I'm just going to give you a little rundown and the time of these robberies. So on January 24th, he robbed a woman for $3 at knife point.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. On January 27th, he robbed a woman for some gift cards. Oh. February 1st, he robbed a man for $20. On February 2nd, he abducted a man and forced him to drive to an ATM at gunpoint. He robbed the man of $500. On February 6th, he pistol whipped a woman and took $38 from her.
Oh my gosh.
And on February 7th, the day before Reagan was murdered, he robbed a woman, taking her purse and bag. The day before. If someone would have been paying attention to this, this would not have happened. If someone would have been paying attention to his monitor,
yes,
this would not have happened.
Exactly.
This was a completely avoidable tragedy.
100%.
She did not have to die. Yep. Like, someone could have avoided this. It pisses me off. So, Goldie is currently incarcerated at the Ohio State Penitentiary, which is a supermax prison in Youngstown. So, Goldie's appellate lawyers requested an appeal in 2018, soon after his conviction, but decided to drop it. What the fuck? Like, why did you try and appeal it? What grounds do you have for appealing? I couldn't find why they wanted to, like, appeal it, but, like, what? They caught you red-handed. They know where you were because you had a freaking monitor on you.
Yeah.
How would you possibly appeal?
I thought if you had a monitor, you was only allowed to go to work.
No one was monitoring it, so it wouldn't have fucking mattered.
Well, he got away with it the first time, so why not?
The first time, Mom, he committed 6 robberies.
I know. What I'm saying is the first time he got away with it, no one did nothing, so it was easier the second time. And then the third, and then the fourth, and the fifth, and then the sixth, and then the seventh. Look what he did.
It's just disgusting. It makes you physically sick to your stomach.
It does. There was more enough chances to catch this guy and to avoid this girl being murdered.
Yeah. If someone would have been doing their job.
Which, I get it. Jails and prisons are overran with people. They really are. But that doesn't mean...
What's the point of putting it on him, though?
Exactly. That doesn't mean that they should get away with it.
Like, what was the point of putting an ankle monitor on him if no one was gonna fucking check it?
All the ones on TV, I've noticed that they beep or something whenever you get so far away. I don't understand how this works. I'd have to do a little research on it, but I just feel like the opportunity to catch this guy was like... The ball was dropped.
Oh, you could have 100%... it was dropped... It was dropped and then it fumbled around and it just rolled off into another area of the freaking basketball court. Like, it's just, I can't imagine, like, what her parents feel. Yes,
because
like,
it was a totally senseless. It could have been avoided 100%.
Yeah. It's just crazy. I mean, there are so many, like, what ifs. So, like, if this woman would have testified against him, he wouldn't have gotten a 6-year sentence. He would have been in prison a hell of a lot longer for mm-hmm. that. If they would have caught him the first robbery that he committed, I don't know, maybe the 6th robbery he committed, this would not have happened. So, it's just...
So, needless to say, this guy went to jail and he was not reformed. And he was put back out on the streets to do even a worse crime.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? He probably would have murdered the first woman if she hadn't had a kid with her. I mean, what was he supposed to do with the kid?
That's true. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, he probably would have murdered her if he hadn't gotten caught. So what was life like after Reagan's death? Her family started the Reagan Tokes Memorial Foundation, and the foundation works to reward students with scholarships and teach self-defense and promote legislation aimed at reducing crime. On May 7th, during OSU's graduation ceremony, Tokes' parents and her sister accepted Reagan's diploma. Mm. A memorial was created for Tokes on the Ohio State University campus in June 2018. The yellow magnolia tree and a bronze plaque bearing her name are on the north edge of Mirror Lake. And then there was also a Tranquility Garden that was in Tokes' memory that was created at the park where her body was found. And it was officially dedicated to her on June 5th, 2019. So in May of 2018, the Tokes family filed a lawsuit against Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction and then the NISRE Incorporated, which is the parent company of the excerpt program that housed Goldsby. Because remember, he was in, like, a housing center.
A halfway house?
Yeah, and you have rules. Mm-hmm. Like, you're supposed to be home at a certain time and all that. And clearly, no one was paying attention to him there either, which is, again, crazy. Like, all of these different people.
So many different things that could have...
Yeah.
Everybody would have been paying attention, it's never
If even happened. One person would have been paying attention. Like, there were 3 different programs that were supposed to be monitoring him, and none of them were, and it just... I don't know. Like, if the house would have, alerted the authorities as soon as he didn't arrive home by his curfew, they may have still found her alive.
Yeah, because you think they'd be very strict with that. Because, I mean, there is rules, and rules are rules. And if you break them... You go back to jail.
Exactly.
Is from what I would understand would happen, but clearly...
Apparently not. So, the lawsuit argues that the ODRC and the exit program were negligent and failed to adequately monitor Goldsby, leading to Reagan's murder, which I 100,000% believe. For 2 hours prior to her death, Reagan Tokes was kidnapped and brutally murdered. During this time, she suffered conscious pain and suffering, and the suffering of Reagan Tokes was the result of the negligence of NISRE and the exit program. The lawsuit also stated that the Tokes family suffered from grave mental anguish. The lawsuit against the ODRC was dismissed on September 2018,
Why?
With McGrath saying that the ODRC had no duty to prevent Goldsby from harming Tokes, because they had no special relationship with her, and the Tokes appealed. So, because they had no special relationship with Tokes, like, sorry. It wasn't our job to watch this guy's monitor. You know, it is our job, but you know what? It's not our job.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So then, after the Tokes appealed, the lawsuit was again dismissed by Ohio's 10th District Court of Appeals, which I honestly find just, I'm like flabbergasted by that, because in my eyes, there's 100% wrongdoing. Like, y'all are in the wrong, you weren't doing your job. But apparently, maybe that, I don't know, maybe you don't technically have to do your job. I mean, clearly, like, legally, there's nothing tying you to that.
Yeah.
And honestly, that makes it the world a more terrifying place.
Yes, because it just shows other people they can do things and get away with it.
Yeah. I mean, because clearly if, like, this case was dismissed and, you know, like, clearly, like, the lawsuit... Okay, so, because, I mean, clearly if this case was dismissed, obviously, like, they've determined that there's no wrongdoing, which is crazy. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, because clearly there was.
Yeah, like, that's the whole point of an ankle monitor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because why even put one on him?
Exactly. So, on May 21st, 2019, so not that long ago, the Tokes appealed to the Supreme Court of Ohio. The lawsuit did state that the ODRC was indeed aware of Goolsbee's potential risk of harm to others and just ignored it, which I feel like is 100%.
After you've caused, 52 things in jail, I feel like there should be a watch on this guy that, you know, maybe this is one of the ones we should be paying a lot more attention to. I mean, because I feel like a lot of people go to jail and they do their time and they get out and they are, that they'll go to jail and they'll learn their lesson and they'll come back, an active member of society. And I feel like those people that go to jail and do nothing but cause problems.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a model citizen, okay.
They're not going to miraculously have this power and do better once they get out of jail.
Yeah.
If they did it in jail, they're going to do it again out of jail. I just feel like that's just common sense.
If you're doing 52 things that is illegal, you're probably going to do illegal things outside of prison. Mm-hmm. So then the lawsuit also stated that a special relationship existed between the ODRC and Goolsbee because of their knowledge that he represented a substantial risk of harm to others and that the ODRC had the ability to control him.
Mm-hmm.
The ODRC was literally tied to Goolsbee's ankle. The ODRC had the full mantle of control over Goolsbee with the ultimate power to arrest him or impose more restrictive terms of post-release control. So that was a direct quote from the lawsuit. Ohio's Supreme Court announced on August 6th, 2019, that they would not hear the Tokes case against the ODRC. So again, it was dismissed.
Wow.
Yeah. But the Tokes lawsuit against the NISRE remains pending in the Franklin County Common Pleas Court. The trial will begin on March 30th, 2020. So
that's coming up.
Yeah.
About 3 months.
It's just crazy. And Tokes' parents did begin working with lawmakers to address what they see as, like, failures in the system that led to her murder. I mean, I don't know. I literally have no words. Because it's a huge-ass failure, and, I don't understand. I don't understand how they don't have a case. I really don't. So, in 2018, the Reagan-Tokes Act was introduced into the Ohio House and Senate. In December 2018, part of the Reagan-Tokes Act was signed into law by Governor John Kish. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. And then another part was signed in April of 2019. I don't know. It's just crazy because the system that was meant to protect Reagan completely and totally fell.
Sure did. It's sad for a family that they're still getting, kicked in the teeth basically from trying to do right.
Yeah.
And trying to keep somebody else from this happening,
It's just crazy because I truly don't understand how, they don't see any wrongdoing. So that is the very heartbreaking and just devastating murder of Reagan Tokes. I don't know. It's just a crazy one. It really is. So, have you been listening to anything spooky recently? New podcasts?
I've been just listening to Christmas. Now that Christmas is over with, I'll get back on my podcast kick.
But yeah.
I've been listening to Christmas music at work. So, trying to get me in the Christmas spirit. But now that it's done and over with, I'll get right back into it.
Mm-hmm. I have found a new podcast that I really like. I don't know if you would like it because you don't like a lot of talking. But it's called Not Your Basic Murder.
Hmm.
I've been kind of binge watching it. I'm almost, or binge listening, I guess. I'm almost done with it. I like it. It does have a lot of chit chat though. So I don't know if you'll like you would like that. I don't know. I'm very picky when it comes to podcasts. Sometimes I like whenever they're chit chatty. Sometimes I don't. Just genuinely depends, honestly, on the podcaster.
So. True. This is true. But I'm ready to get back into it. It's been a while since I've listened to one. I mean, I still keep on track of the ones that I listen to. I still listen to them every week, but I want to start listening to more. I like listening to them, getting started new ones.
I'm going to have a White Claw. Got riled up during that. I need some alcohol in my system.
I can see why.
And I decided that I'm going to eat super duper healthy starting
January
1st. Because again, we're filming this before January, a couple days before. So it's my last couple of days to drown myself in alcohol and bad food. So yeah. All right. Well, that is it for our second episode.
Have a safe and happy new year.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you guys. Oh, shit. On our last episode, I said we'll see you guys next Friday, but technically it wouldn't be because we are doing 3 episodes in 1. Anyway, so there's still one more episode that you guys are able to, you know, binge listen. So hope you guys enjoyed that one as well. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. Eventually, whenever I make that Facebook page, and be sure to review, give us a 5-star, you know, do all the things. If you listen to podcasts, you know what to do. You know it. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys in our next episode.
Bye.
Bye.